What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Next Gen White Tails podcast. This is a pretty special one because it is the first time that we are going to be posting two episodes in 1 week back to back. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, as we get closer to deer season, this is kind of going to be the trend of trying to get multiple episodes in every week and having some special episodes if something significant happens within our circle of whitetail hunting. So on today's episode, we got another awesome returning guest. We got Mr. Nathan Spangler from Arkansas coming in to join us. We're going to have some great conversations, kind of talking about what he's been seeing down there, sharing a little bit about kind of the differences between North Carolina hunting and Arkansas hunting and what can be expected over the coming weeks for him, and how we can use what he's seeing out in the forestry department with our own hunts back home. So stick with us, stay tuned. It's going to be a really fun one. All right, everybody. So welcome back to another episode of the Next Gen Whitetails podcast. As I said during our introduction, we are joined once again by Mr. Nathan Spangler to kind of just chat about deer, chat about what Nate's seeing down in Arkansas right now, what we can learn for ourselves back home, wherever we're listening, and just kind of have a good conversation. So, Nathan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Harrison.
So, kind of the first thing I want to talk about is something that I'm sure a lot of people in certain parts of the country deal with quite often, but that we personally here in North Carolina did not really deal with, but it is something that you are starting to see a lot of down in Arkansas, and that is pigs.
Pigs, yes.
So what have you been kind of dealing with, and what has been kind of what you've been seeing the past couple of weeks down in Arkansas with the pig population down there?
So, like you said, you know, growing up in North Carolina, especially the part of the state that we were in, you know, you would hear about hogs, but they were very few and far between actually seeing them. And then since I've been in Arkansas I got down here in the start of June, and it seems like if it's early morning, and I'm in a good hardwood stand or a hardwood bottom land kind of stand, you know, any sort of floodplain with trees in it, I pretty much always run into hogs. I mean, and we're talking multiple groups of them throughout the morning.
Yeah.
So that was something that I don't know, I wasn't really expecting it. But then again, you know, Arkansas Razorbacks, yeah, they're big on their hogs, so should have kind of seen that one coming.
What are you seeing from your perspective in terms of how the pig populations in these hardwood stands and things, what are you seeing in terms of it impacting deer movement or deer behavior?
You know, I'm not super sure on that. Mm-hmm. I do know I did just join a hunting lease down here.
Awesome.
And at least on this lease, like I'm sure many other Arkansas leases, there are a very active population of hogs running around.
Yeah.
And it hasn't seemed to mess up the deer. A few people in the club actively trap the hogs, so, you know, there's always some sort of control going on there.
Right.
But as far as I've been able to tell, they haven't affected them a whole lot.
Yeah.
But then you would imagine they would, just because usually I find these hogs in hardwood areas.
Right.
You know, rooting around for acorns, hickory nuts, whatever it may be. Specifically acorns, you know, that's a big part of a deer's diet,
right?
Here coming up, so you know, there's definitely probably increased competition there, just another factor putting pressure on the deer herd. That's what I would imagine, at least.
What What are you noticing in these specific properties that you're on and seeing these pigs in? Are you noticing any sort of big impact, particularly a negative impact that these deer are or these hogs are having on the landscape?
Well, sure. I mean, they will root up, digging through the soil looking for food. And a lot of times, you know, it's just a lot of people say that 90% of a tree's roots are in the first foot of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, are they actively killing trees when they're digging around? No. But once again, that's adding stress on trees.
Right.
Having these hogs, you know, dig deep in the soil looking for food.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's kind of what I figured, but I wanted to kind of get your firsthand account on that. So tell
There's nothing really good about wild hogs.
Right.
Really not.
Right. I mean, definitely an invasive species and something that certainly wherever they're located is having some level of an impact on the landscape. But you know, tell me a little bit about this new leash you've got going on, Nate.
Yeah. So. Actually, our harvest manager at work, we were at lunch one day, and I was talking about how I'd be working on our properties, and I would see, you know, a really good area for squirrels, or they got a lot of hogs, or, you know, I've seen deer and turkey, like, here through crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of started poking around, like, man, I need to give some of these hunt leases a call.
Yeah.
See if I can't try to get on. And I just happened to be at lunch with my managers. I was talking about this, and he was like, oh, you're looking for a hunt lease? I was like, well, yeah. You know any? He's like, yeah, we just had a spot open up in ours. So I went ahead and joined it, and we got spent this weekend riding around it, but it's about 1,600 acres, mixed with a plethora of pine, a few fields, some really good hardwoods, a lot of stream side zones and everything,
yeah,
and a few fields thrown in here and there, but really just a mix of a whole bunch of different landscapes.
That's awesome. How many active hunters are on it?
I want to say only 17.
Oh, wow. On that many acres.
Oh, yeah. And there are plenty. Some of the guys use climbers or, you know, put a stand up close to the season. But
mm-hmm.
Even outside of that, they already have probably, gosh, it feels like they have at least 15 box stands.
Oh my goodness.
All set up all over the property. So.
Wow. That's all. Now, here's a question I'm thinking in my mind. Are there any wetlands on this property?
There are. There are a little bit.
Really?
But I wouldn't say they're not good wetlands for ducks, because I know that's what you're thinking of.
Yes, yes.
Is it yeah, no, unfortunately, that region of Arkansas isn't I'm sure you can still shoot ducks.
Yeah.
But not many ponds and
I gotcha.
Stuff around like that.
Now, here's another question to come at you. Are guests allowed on this hunting lease?
I am sure I could get a guest like yourself.
I was about to say, man.
Down for a hunt.
We gotta get down there and shoot some pigs.
Absolutely. There's plenty of them.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it, dude. That's awesome. Now, on this particular lease, how are they, from what you've seen just from this past weekend, you riding around the property, how are they kind of managing their deer herd? Are they running a lot of feeders? Are they running food plots? Are they primarily hunting bedding and transition zones? What's kind of the vibe you've gotten just from this first weekend?
Sure. They are feeding them. You know, there's not every stand, but over half of them have a feeder by the stand.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have been putting corn in them, but as we get closer to the season, For whatever reason, they only keep a few feeders filled with corn.
I gotcha.
So they do that, and then they've also, I know they're planting a lot of oats in their food plots. They got a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think they could use a little more,
but yeah.
It seems that they've been doing all right the way they have been doing it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, food plots and then just feeders, really.
That's awesome. I'm planning on putting my getting my food plot seeded this Saturday in some cereal grain brassica. It's kind of just an all around mix. It's a cereal grain brassica and some winter pea mix that I'm gonna try to get in on Saturday. So long as this rain cooperates. Right now it's looking like we're gonna get some rain Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and then two or three different days of rain next week. So I'm hopeful that stays on the forecast, but if it does, the goal is to get some seed in the ground. And, you know, I talked about it on our last episode with Jonathan on here, but have I mentioned to you that Big Earl is back?
Yes. Yeah,
yes.
No, I actually saw that text this morning.
Yep.
And Big Earl is looking good.
He is looking grande.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's looking good. So I'm pretty stoked about the prospects for the season up here in North Carolina. But well, that's awesome, dude. I'm glad you got a lease down there. Especially one that big with that few hunters. That sets it up pretty well for you.
Oh yeah. And you know, everyone quote unquote has their own stand, but actually have a good number of older fellas in the club, so they'll usually get out there opening day, maybe hunt another time or two, but other than that, it leaves me and a few of the younger guys kind of our pick.
Yep. That is awesome. Now when is y'all's opening day in Arkansas for bow season?
I know it's sometime, I want to say mid-September. It's rapidly approaching.
Big time. I mean, I know here in North Carolina, we're inside of 3 weeks out. It's September 9th is our opening day of bow season here for our area.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, it's creeping up on us quick for sure. So this kind of leads us into another question I've got for you.
Yeah.
So this has kind of been a trend we've been talking about on a couple different episodes. Colin and I talked about it quite a bit a couple weeks ago. But it's kind of a two-parter question that is completely unrelated, but I'm going to hit you with both of them, okay?
All right.
Okay, so number one question. I know you're shooting a Hoyt bow, correct?
No, I shoot a diamond.
You shoot a diamond, that's right. My bad. So I know you're shooting a diamond bow, but here was my question. What kind of broadheads are you looking at using this season?
I'm going to stick with the hang on, let me think. I kind of switched it up here last season.
We're talking
the Rage Hypodermic. That's what I've used as last season.
Yep.
And had really good success with it.
You know, Colin and I were talking a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. We were talking about, you know, the differences of opinion between, you know, mechanicals versus fixed blade. And, you know, I told the listeners when we were talking to Colin that this season will be my first year getting away from the mechanicals and using fixed blade. I'm going to be using cut on contact iron wheels this upcoming season. But, you know, I've used Rage Hypodermics, those exact same broadheads, for as long as I've been bow hunting, and I have had incredible success with them. I have never had a deployment failure. I've never had an arrow get stuck. I've had pass-throughs every time, and just, you know, ridiculously successful wound channels, and quick, clean, ethical kills coming from all of my shots with those hypodermics. And, you know, and I think that I think that kind of primarily the reason I decided to switch to the fixed blades was it was mental rather than like an actual functional thing. So what I mean by that is I have complete confidence that the rages will do their job and those mechanicals will do their job, but for some reason, a couple of years ago, I was watching a video or something, and there was a guy talking about how he had a broadhead failure, a deployment failure. And it was on a poor shot, straight through the shoulder blade, which, obviously, not an ideal shot. But the main reason I decided to switch it was just because of an encounter I had a couple years ago that I've talked about on the podcast before. I had a brisket shot on a deer, and I didn't take it on a shooter buck. A head-on shot because I was using those hypodermics, and I was scared that I was going to have a failure hitting any sort of bone or have the arrow screwed out to the side. So I just decided to switch to the cut-on contacts, but I actually have put in my quiver some rages as well because I think when it comes down to the wire, I may switch back to them.
I don't blame you there, man. I mean, I was like you when I first got into it. I only used fixed.
Yeah.
And I knew the chances for a mechanical error are extremely low, but I was very hesitant to start using them.
Yeah.
And I will say, I feel like most of the times you get a failure.
Yeah.
Like the first time I had to put a collar on.
Yep.
I was like, oh yeah, I've lined it up with the marks. After my first hunt, thankfully I didn't see a deer. After my first hunt is when I figured out, oh wait, no, you don't line them up with those, or else you're already setting yourself up for higher chances of a failure.
Yep.
So, and they can get bumped around and stuff, so the failures can still happen, but if you just, give a little attention, pay attention to what you're doing, for the most part, I still think you should be fine.
Yep. I think there's a lot of guys out there who are absolute diehard, fixed blade guys, and there's guys out there that are absolute diehard mechanical blade guys, and I think it really, both of them are going to have incredibly high success rates, near 100%, I think, as long as there is no user error.
Right.
And I think if the hunter does his homework and knows what he's doing and, presents the product and the weapon in the way that it's meant to be presented and used, and then, executes an ethical, clean shot, I don't think that you're ever really going to have any issues with either or in terms of getting that ethical kill that you're looking for on a shot. So I think it really just, it boils down to user preference.
Right. And, there's less stuff to mess up with a fixed broadhead.
Yep.
But, who can complain with the mechanical wound channels?
I mean, oh, my goodness.
They're insane.
They're incredible.
So, really, both have their perks. One shines a little better than the other in some aspects and vice versa.
Yep.
But like you said, I think it does just come down to what you're comfortable with. If you're comfortable shooting fixed broadheads, you can kill a lot of deer with fixed broadheads.
Yep.
If you're comfortable with mechanical, you can kill a lot of deer with mechanical,
I think, too, with me switching, one of the big reasons I decided to make the switch this season had something to do with the fact that, I all my stands that I've put in on these different properties that I'm hunting, all these stands that I've put in are set up for a shot within 40 yards max. And I traded the wound channel and the, comfortable extended distance of a mechanical for the, without a doubt confidence of a fixed blade inside of those distances. Because I just feel like it being inside of those distances for pretty much every shot, I'm not going to have much flight issue. using a fixed blade over the mechanicals. And I know that as soon as that arrow is released, it's going to cut on contact. And if it comes down to it, I am confident that with the weight of the arrow and the grain broadhead that I'm using, I'm very confident that it's going to blow through a bone. If it was necessary. And I'm not going to have the hesitancy to you know, make that release on a shot like that, because I'm confident in my shooting, and I'm also confident in the abilities of the broadheads themselves.
Right.
And that kind of leads me into my, not really leads me into, I keep saying that. It has nothing to do with one another. But the second part of my question, and I'll explain why I'm asking this here in just a second. Have you noticed any sort of increase in the predator populations down in Arkansas in terms of primarily coyotes or foxes, mainly coyotes?
I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I have also only been here for a little over 2 months.
Yeah. Have you noticed any sort of significant sign from them, though, or anything like that while you've been down there?
I actually haven't.
Okay.
You know, I know they're down here, but in all the times I've spent driving all over kind of BFE Arkansas,
yeah,
I haven't seen any. I haven't seen signs, but I do notice I have stumbled upon a lot. Now that you were talking about predators, I have found a good bit of fawn carcasses and, you know, spikes too, a lot of spike skulls.
Mm-hmm.
Could that have something to do with a high predator population? I'm sure it could.
Yeah.
I'm not going to draw any lines right now because I haven't really done my research into it.
Yeah.
But,
I know
it definitely is probably a problem here, like it is in the majority of the United States.
And, you know, I ask that because, so Jonathan and I were kind of reviewing some pictures, and Colin and I were talking about it on the podcast. We have noticed a massive increase in the coyote population here in North Carolina over the past year.
Really?
Jonathan and I have gotten more pictures of those dogs this year than we ever have in the past. Almost to the point where it's been weird. Like, I'm getting pictures 5-6 times a week.
Uh-huh.
Of big, healthy-looking dogs. And, I mean, Jonathan's had groups of them, like 4 or 5 in a group coming in front of the camera. I wasn't sure if maybe that was something you were seeing a bunch of them or a bunch of sign of them down there, or maybe if that's you know, somehow related to the winters we've had the past couple seasons, maybe a population increase in them. But we've definitely noticed a pretty sharp increase in their numbers over the past year with trail camera surveys, which has just been, it's been odd. It's been very odd.
I'll have to ask John Michael about it, because he's currently running all the cameras up at the farm.
Yep.
So I'll need to ask him about that. And then I'll ask some of the guys at work too. You know, I'm just curious about it now.
It's been a strange thing to see. It's not typical for around here.
Uh huh. Are you doing anything to help control or reduce that population?
Not right now. You know, I had had some thoughts to do it earlier in the summer, but with my work schedule and with my schedule or my distance from my hunting properties, it's
sure.
It's almost impossible, one, to trap, because I can't get out there and check the traps every day.
Right.
And then as far as hunting them goes, I want to. It's just kind of been the same thing. When I've been up there on the property, I've been so focused on doing the deer work that needs to be done. I have failed to take into account the steps needed to kind of help control that population. But I will say one thing. I haven't really noticed much predation in terms of even fawns, which is odd. Like, I'm getting pictures of coyotes coming in, and 5 minutes later, there's a doe and a fawn coming in to eat in the plot.
Right.
Like, they're not avoiding it. They're not really scared of them. I don't know if you know, maybe they're just not interacting in that way right now. If the, you know, maybe the rabbit population or these coyotes are feeding on something else right now, and they're not really focused on the deer. But it's been just kind of a weird thing to see with the behaviors.
Yeah, you figured for sure that fawn would be first thing those coyotes would want right now.
I was thinking the same thing, man. It's just it's been a weird thing to see for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of takes us into the last little section of what I want to talk to you about, and this is kind of a big question, but it's a two-parter question. These are two. So we've got one regular old question. I want to see what you think about, and then I've got two hypothetical situations I'm going to dish out for you. Okay.
All right.
So, question one, and this is not a hypothetical, this is just a regular old question. What are, with this being your first deer season outside of North Carolina, your first deer season in Arkansas, and, you know, obviously you've only been there a handful of months, and it's your first year there, what are your goals for deer season this year?
My goal is to shoot a wall hanger buck.
There you go.
Our lease or our club,
mm-hmm.
We have a 4-point rule. So to shoot a buck, you got to have, or it's got to have 4 points on, at least 4 points on one side.
Excellent.
So either I could get lucky and shoot kind of a really odd looking 7, or most likely that means I'm going to have to shoot at least an 8-point.
Yeah.
And most of the ones I see that come off, there's one guy, let's see, 2 years ago, he shot a 8-point that scored 135.
Wow.
So, great deer. Yeah, they get pretty big. So my goal for this season is to get myself one of those and hopefully see it hanging up in my living room.
Yeah. Absolutely, dude. That's awesome. I know, you know, I'm sure it's a lot to take in, you know, not only learning a new property, but just being in a whole new state and getting into hunting there. But that's an awesome goal. And I think that, you know, with the size of the property you're hunting and the manage the way that it is, I really think you're going to have an opportunity to do that this season.
Yeah, no, I think I will too. And, especially after riding around the property, you know, since there's so many different timber types, you know, I feel like it'll be pretty easy to pay attention, you know, where are the deer concentrating, where are the big bucks concentrating, and trying to specifically target the type of environments they're in.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just keep my fingers crossed.
Most definitely. That's awesome, dude. Now, all right, here's my first hypothetical, okay? You ready?
Yep.
All right, so let's say this upcoming season, you're in the stand, right? Let's say it's mid-October.
All right.
You get a, you know, maybe a 120s class 8-point come in, all right?
Sure.
At the same time, you got a 500-pound razorback. And when I say 500 pounds, I know that is an absurd size, but I'm using it kind of as a sarcastic comment, but a giant Arkansas Razorback come in with some massive cutters on him.
Uh huh.
What are you poking?
Oh, that's a tough one. Jeez, you know, I'm probably shooting the deer first.
Okay.
And then maybe I'll get lucky enough to pop one in the hog.
I like it.
I'd probably lean towards the deer, honestly.
Yeah, I like it. I would too. I would be sitting in the same situation. All right.
Well, as much as I'd like to kill the hog,
yeah,
you know, it's also year-round in open season, and we run traps.
That is true.
So I would think if I really tried, I could eventually probably have a better chance of running into that hog than with that deer again.
Most definitely. I agree. All right. Second question. All right. And this is going to be an interesting one. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, okay?
All right.
Shoot a wall hanger buck, right?
Uh-huh.
Or limit of Arkansas greenheads in the timber.
Oh! Greenheads in the timber, man.
You're going greenheads in the timber?
Yeah.
It's an experience, man.
It is the experience, you know, and that's something, you know, if you ask me, a couple of years from now, I'll probably say the deer, just because I'll be used to shooting greenheads in the timber.
Yeah.
But, that's just, it's a, just a different kind of experience, and, that just sounds not a lot better, but I would take that over the wall hanger buck.
Yeah. I hear you. That's awesome. That's why I was curious to throw that question out there and see what you had to say with it.
You knew how to poke my buttons.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, now as an adopted Arkansan, though, I can say I'm not surprised by your answer.
Yeah. I'm actually hopefully supposed to be a residential Arkansan here sometime this week. I was looking into buying all my hunting licenses, and there's right around a $500 difference if I just go ahead and become a resident, so.
That's well worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Well worth it. Well, Nady, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you hopping on this podcast kind of last minute. I had to get you on and get a little chatting done here as we get closer and closer to deer season so that I could get some updates and that our listeners could get some updates with you as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, always glad to be on and, just count down the days now.
Counting down the days. We're getting close, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Nady. Well, again, thanks for being on, and we will catch you on the next one.
Sounds good, man.
Thanks, buddy. We'll see you. Well, everybody, thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the Next Gen Whitetails Podcast. As always, if you enjoyed what you listened to here today, please drop a follow on whatever podcast platform you are listening on, and be sure to check us out on Instagram at Next Gen Whitetails. That is NXTGEN Whitetails on Instagram. We appreciate your support in all things, whether that be on the Instagram page or on the podcast. And we thank you again for listening here today to our conversation with Nathan Spangler. I know that it's a blast for me to be able to chat with him and to learn what he has to say and kind of hear what's going on in other parts of the country like Arkansas. But I hope you all enjoy listening to it as well. So, again, if you like what you heard, follow us on Instagram, follow us on your podcast app. And thank you all once more for being a part and joining the Next Gen. We'll catch you on the next one.